Good morning and welcome to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration that will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening. Welcome to Being Here.
Yeah, welcome to Being Here.
I'm Ariel.
I'm Shia. Today's show is called Being in Nature, Part 1.
That's because it's an important enough subject. We plan to talk about it more than once. But I love the quote that our producer, Susan, came up with for this show. It's a Henry David Thoreau quote. I took a walk in the woods and came out taller than the trees. So be prepared for an expansive, enlivening show today. We have callers waiting. We're excited that they're joining us. But most of us are so busy with technology and getting somewhere.
It rained a bit earlier today. And I walked outside and the smell of the fresh rain in the woods, because Ariel and I do live in the woods, at least we're surrounded by trees and lots of trees, and it goes back for acres and acres, and there's wildlife here, and so we have our own little respite from the world, and the air smelled so good. I called Ariel and said, come on out and smell this, because nature has smells. Nature is different than the city. Nature rejuvenates us rather than suppresses us.
It has a life to it, a rhythm to it, but it also has this randomness, apparently. I can't look out my backyard and expect to see the same thing each day.
But go ahead.
Shai and I were talking about it the other day. On our way home, his way home from somewhere, I don't recall where right now, about a year and a half ago, a black bear ran across the road. And now every time he goes there, he looks for it.
Even though it's not there and probably never will be there again.
It was a one-time happening.
Yeah, something that you come on randomly, that's unexpected, that's, you know, and life is random, unexpected. But, you know, in big cities or small towns even, for the most part, it's predictable. You know, there are traffic lights, there are cars, there are buses, there are people. There's lots of steel and cement and, you know, city.
And if you're normal, you try to control your environment so it's as comfortable as possible.
But stepping into nature gives you a connection back to where we come from rather than a world that has become devoid of spontaneity. I mean, I'm sure there are spontaneous things happening in our lives all the time, but you really, the serendipity of life when you step into nature is remarkable.
It really, it is. In case you're new with Shai and I, we like to let you know we sometimes finish each other's sentences. Now, we're not going anywhere. Kind of like nature. I get to look behind Shia as we're speaking, and I see the woods out back, and he gets to look out the picture window behind me.
And I see the woods in front of our house and across the street from our house.
And it's always delightfully different. Right now, it's still. You wouldn't know there was ever wind.
That's in the direction you're looking. Mm-hmm. But I see fluttering in the leaves out there. So,
you know, that's really true. Sometimes we'll sit in the hot tub and you'll see wind, but it'll come up a corridor and half the trees are silent and some of the trees are blowing madly. It's quite lovely. I know we have a number of...
Well, let's talk about how to get the most out of today's episode.
Yes.
And that is, see, if you've never heard our show before, you don't know where I'm going. But if you have, you think you already know the answer.
The way to get the most out of the show today is by being here. Now, being here can be accessed through listening. Your minds are busy, capable, forward-thinking machines that fill in from what you know from the past. So I wouldn't be surprised if when I paused before I said being here, you filled in with listening. So let's take care of each other today by being here.
There's nothing wrong by filling in. Your mind is going to fill in. It will complete sentences for us, even though the outcome of the sentence may be different than we end up saying. You know, like you'll think we're going somewhere and you'll come up with a completely different conclusion. See if you can allow that very fast, very facile nature of your mind to relax a little bit and see if you can leave it in abeyance, you know, hold it in abeyance and let it not comment on everything. And if you notice that you can't stop it from commenting on everything, that's just dandy. There's no problem with that at all. Just notice that your mind fills in when we slow down, and don't make yourself wrong for it or right for it. Just notice it does that. See, our technology is based in awareness. And awareness is a non-judgmental seeing of how you're operating into life, how you're being. And it includes that your mind finishes our sentences. If the voice in your head complains that you don't understand something, or says, oh, this is just like something else, or you say, oh, I don't agree with that, or it says, oh, I agree with that, any of that, it's just the chatter of your mind, and it's not you. You're the one who listens and gets confused and thinks that you are that voice. But maybe by the end of today's show or somewhere in between, you'll discover that you have the ability to listen without having to talk about what's going on, just to let that information come in. If you do, it will pull you into the current moment of your life. And that's where enlightenment takes place, when you actually get in real time into the current moment, not the past, not the future, but this moment of now.
It's funny. You were talking about the voice that speaks to you, and it got bright behind you all of a sudden because the sun came out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the commentator said, oh, look. The sun came out. It had already
come out,
but it repeated what I'd already noticed.
Well, I do that every time I play solitaire. I notice that it talks to me about what I already see and I'm already moving. You know, I move the card and it tells me to.
Yeah. So that's a normal function of your mind. Keep bringing your attention back to what's actually happening.
You know, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. I talk about that I play solitaire,
mm-hmm.
and I know people think, well,
what?
That's not very enlightened.
Whatever you're doing, if you're doing it fully, can be the access way to enlightenment.
Exactly.
I mean, you can go disagree with me and go with some weird thing if you're murdering somebody, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about fully being engaged in the activities of your life.
But that anybody would disagree with what you have to say rather than listen to it is an interesting phenomena that we've been culturally trained to do, to either agree or disagree, and sought by different things that we either agree with or disagree with. So let's agree to take our first caller.
Let's. All right, we have Adam. Adam, are you in New York City today?
Hi, Ariel and Chaya. Yes, I am.
Welcome to the show.
I'm calling from my beautiful office lobby in New York City.
Well, thanks for nipping downstairs. I'm assuming it's downstairs so that you could be here with us. Nice to have you on the show.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be here. I'm stuck with something that I wanted to that came up for me when I read the description of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was yesterday, it was this week that I was on the train, and there was a beggar who came on the train with his wife, asking for money, and asking people to give any amount of money. And I guess the topic is how we kind of want to control our environment. So in that moment, I didn't want to look up. I didn't want to acknowledge that they were there. I just wanted to stay glued to my phone and wait till they passed. Just because I felt uncomfortable. I felt bad for them, but I also wasn't sure if I believed them. And then I think when I looked up, the guy's shoes were whiter than mine. I felt guilty for being like, oh, well, do they have to have like tattered clothes to be needing help? I just noticed how I'm, I guess maybe wanting to control my environment, or just how I feel. I mean, I felt like I wanted to help, but I didn't. I also felt weird in that moment.
Less notable than the specifics of that interaction, for me at least, is that you may not recognize that your phone is a device you use to keep you from being uncomfortable.
To insulate you from the world.
And also, so that you don't have to make a choice in the moment and be responsible for it.
Look, you can either give money or not give money. That's totally up to you. See, the difference between change and transformation is rather profound. Change takes place over time, and transformation happens in an instant. But change is judgmental. It's based in right and wrong and good and bad and better and worse, in the dichotomies of life, the judgments of life. Transformation is based in the isness of the situation. It's just about noticing what is without judging it.
And in this case, justifying it.
Well, the judgment is of yourself, though, because
correct.
You think you should be a better person, or that what is the right thing to do? What if there is no right or wrong?
If they truly are a beggar, the right thing is to give, according to your system. And if they're scamming you, the wrong thing is
to give.
And the whole baffle system of which your life is coming in through doesn't allow you to look and see in the moment what you want.
Look, Adam, I walk down the streets of New York frequently, and there are lots of beggars in the streets of New York. Not as much as some parts of the world, but there are enough. And sometimes I'm just moved to give somebody money. I realize mm-hmm. their life situation is such that they are, this is their lot in life, and I just am moved to give them some money.
And sometimes he walks down the street and he realizes this is their lot in life, and he is moved not to give them money.
But I don't second guess myself and ask myself, why did I avoid giving this person money? I'm going to take a leap of faith here, Adam, and say, is there something that you're avoiding in your life that you're avoiding doing, and this quandary about whether you should or shouldn't give money takes you away from that, so you don't have to look at the other thing that may be a little more confronting, if you will.
Or uncomfortable, potentially uncomfortable.
I feel like the go-to answer when I'm avoiding something is dating.
Dating?
Yes. So it's so much easier to get your mind occupied with, well, should I have given money? Well, that here's the thing, Adam. This moment is here and now. That moment was another day ago, a week.
Yeah.
And it's still running through your machinery.
Right. Right.
It's still running through the machinery of your mind. It's a week away. Whoa, there's something that this thing is buying you.
I mean, on dating, I'm in a relationship now, and I really enjoy being with this person.
Yes.
But I think about them all the time. Or I don't, not all the time, but I guess when I have space, I think about them.
I have a feeling that they are similar to your smartphone. You use thinking about this individual or looking into your smartphone, staring at your shoes, to avoid being here in your environment and attending to what's in your environment.
What's right in front of you.
Fully.
Yeah, that's very true.
And Adam, you can do it. You can get into the current moment and live your life fully and not be threatened by what shows up, and you'll be able to handle whatever shows up. But if you avoid things in your life, they come back around, because the universe tends to want to be complete. And so those things that are incomplete just keep on coming back to be processed until you complete them. In some religions, they call it karma, where you come back lifetime after lifetime. But you don't have to die in between. Things will come back over and over the same day.
Speaking of coming back the same day, we are going to a break now. Can you come back with us after the break?
Yes.
All right, we'll be back shortly, everyone.
So come on back.
Don't miss
being here.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you, too, can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com to receive free video and audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Success, health, satisfaction. Now you can have it all. Ariel and Shia Kane make it easy with award-winning books that will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. Ariel and Shia also invite you to attend their fun, interactive workshops in New York, Germany, England, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Kane's books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. So why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting TransformationMadeEasy.com. That's TransformationMadeEasy.com.
It's your world. Motivate. Change. Succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You're listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back to Being Here.
For those of you who are joining us in Hamburg, Germany, we will see many of you day after tomorrow for the Freedom to Breathe.
And then we're going to be doing Transformation in the Workplace on Saturday and Sunday.
And so we're looking forward to seeing you all. And congratulations for making that investment in yourself.
Yes.
Next, on the East Coast of the United States, New Jersey.
On November 8th, 9th, and 10th, we're doing a sleepaway at a camp for big kids.
You know, it should be the height of the leaves turning. And many, many years ago, Shai and I used to lead seminars up at a place called the Pathwork Center upstate New York. And it was always so lovely for us to get away and be in nature and see the deer and, you know, sometimes porcupines and different just life. And we finally found a place here, which is actually just a few miles from our home. It is gorgeous. There's a lake, trees, outside fire pit.
The catering will be all handled by the facility. You won't have to find yourself a restaurant over lunch. Your sleeping accommodations will be taken care of. It will all be handled for you.
So if you want to come invest in yourself and join us
in nature, we'd love to have you join us.
You can find the details and you can register on our website.
TransformationMadeEasy.com.
And we are talking to Adam, who's in New York City right now. Hey, Adam.
Hey.
You know, it occurred to me that the more you use devices, whether it's the handheld variety or the internal variety, like your thought processes, to avoid where you are, the more you reinforce the idea that you need to avoid where you are.
Right.
And the more you practice being where you are, the easier it becomes.
Well, you know, that reminds me of a time when Ariel and I were in Kauai at a beach, and we were going out through the surf, and I held Ariel's hand. She wasn't as comfortable in water then as she is these days, and so we were standing in the surf, and a wave was coming, and I said, we're going to have to go under this one. And we dove under the wave holding hands together. It was very romantic. And then we popped up the other side. And she said, I did it. And I said, yes. And you're going to have to do it again because the next wave was coming. That's like life. But it gets easier. And once you get through the breakers, it's really quiet out there.
Cool.
Hey.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for taking moment out of your busy day. And once you hang up from connecting in with us, we recommend that you keep your feet on the ground and you look around as you head back to your office. Have your office building be your current nature.
I will. And also, I want to say that I'm signed up for being in nature, and I'm very excited to.
Excellent. That's going to be great, Adam.
That's great, Adam. We're happy you're coming. Yeah. Thanks for calling in today.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, let's take our next call.
Yes.
Hey, Sandy, where are you today?
I'm in Fairfield, New Jersey. I'm in my studio as I'm speaking to you.
Welcome.
What kind of studio?
Graphics. Photography and model making and stuff, and I also have a shop that's connected. There's a door that separates it to keep it clean where I do fabrication and stuff. So I love it because I can design and go right next door and make something and see if it works, etc.
That sounds great. Yeah, you tempted me. I want to stop by and see your studio and shop.
You're always welcome, anytime.
Okay, good. I'm glad you gave me an invitation. What can we do for you today, Sandy?
That's our invitation.
When I was asked to be on the radio show and they said it was about nature, I happen to adore nature since I'm a child. About a year and a half ago, we moved. I sold my house after many years. The kids grew up. They're out of the house. And we moved to a small house that's, even though not far away, our highways and roads and stuff, we're pretty much in the woods next to a river.
Mm.
So in the morning when I do wake up, I never know what is going to be standing outside of my house or on my walk to getting the car. We have ducks and geese and swans and birds and deer, woodchucks, squirrels, chipmunks, etc. And it really, it has always calmed me down, and it still calms me down. I find if the morning isn't, let's say I start getting phone calls before I even leave the house for work, I try to turn it off, and just I'll stand out by my car for 5-10 minutes just to, you know, get grounded, if that's, you know, the right word to use. And then be off to work, and then when things get hectic, I try to visualize something like that, or I just try to use your techniques of listening or trying to get in the moment and quiet the mind. Nature seems to quiet it.
Something you said caught my attention, Sandy. You talked about how you get phone calls even before you start your day. Part of what makes your day hectic is you treat those phone calls differently than you treat nature.
You treat those phone calls as though they're an intrusion and don't include it as part of your moment.
You'd prefer chipmunks.
And beavers.
Yes, I do.
But of course, I really understand that. But when we endorse our preferences, we create hectic and we create pain. Because if you prefer only sunshine, then when it rains, you're uncomfortable. If you prefer nature, which you might, and it sounds like you do, when you're not in nature, it's somehow you're a victim of your own life as you have constructed it.
Interesting.
I like that.
I like that also, because I find once I arrive to my studio, the phone calls are not hectic. It's like part of my day.
Maybe you should include it all the time. Rather than disagree or think you should have private time.
Yeah, I never saw it that way, but that's cool.
Yeah, that is cool. See,
something simple.
Life shows up exactly as it does. That means when the phone rings, the phone rings. Sometimes people put off picking up the phone, so they let it go to the answering machine. And then they have to play catch up to catch that person that they actually wanted to speak to, but they didn't want to in that moment because it was inconvenient, apparently. And now they spend hours trying to get back in touch.
I only put off picking up the phone when I've misplaced it somewhere and I hear it ringing and I can't find it.
I can see that now.
That's
great. I usually try to answer the phones unless I when I'm working in my shop, even though I turn the phone off or I feel it vibrating, I don't stop because it could be dangerous distracting myself from working with power tools and
Of course. Well, there's this thing, Sandy. It's called appropriateness to the moment, where if you happen to be working on a building way up high and you're walking along one of the girders, if the phone rings, it is not appropriate to answer your phone.
But just one other thing, Sandy, because I'm listening to you. Of course, we always talk about listening, and we did a course on the power of listening, but it seems like there's a gap. You have getting to your car and then walking into your shop. And I guarantee you there's a journey between them. But if you identify nature good,
travel to your shop not good, getting to your shop good.
It's like, it's so normal for us to pick and choose the important parts of our lives.
Rather than realize that every moment when you're driving is your life, and every moment is important.
I like that.
I like it too. Hey, Sandy, thank you so much for calling in today.
Really a treat speaking with you.
Yeah.
Likewise, and I think you clarified a few things for me. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, then I'm glad whoever approached you for calling in and that you said yes.
And have a nice day, the rest of your day.
Have a great day yourself.
Okay, man. Bye.
Excellent.
Bye-bye.
Okay. We have Ephraim. Hey, Ephraim. Ooh, we have
Thunder. Having my call.
Yeah, I hear you.
So I had a fun experience this morning with the concept of working on yourself doesn't work, which is the name of your first book. I enjoyed the theme for this show when I read it, of being here in nature, but my mind went somewhere. It went to the idea that I should be doing more for nature, or that I should be, there's something always, you know, in the collective news lately about global warming and sustainability in the environment, and my mind went, you know, why am I not doing more to help in that effort? And I've been with you guys long enough to realize that I was working on myself, and I realized I had the option to think about that, and which is such a broad thing, and that you couldn't possibly function and just have anxiety about it, or I could get on with my day and see what shows up. And when I got to work, I'm an architect, and the first thing that pops up in my calendar is that I have a meeting with the GROW committee in my office, which is a committee for working on sustainability in the office and different initiatives. And I went to that meeting, and I realized I had things in the works already to help with and get involved with. And then I had other things happen where I get a phone call from the farm that we work with, that I help coordinate, where they bring fresh vegetables to the office in the summer for people who sign up. So I just, it was fun to realize that when I slowed down and looked at what showed up, the things I was worried about sort of showed up, and they were from just me following my passion.
Well, what you're also identifying is that Shai often talks about it, how we have thousands and thousands of thoughts every day, 95% of which we had the day before. So I'm sure you've had, oh, I should be doing stuff with sustainability. And it comes back again, even when you're on your way to a meeting about sustainability.
Yep.
And 80% of those thoughts are complaints. So it's not just like, I want to invest in sustainability. It's, I'm not doing enough investment in sustainability. When your attention goes back on yourself, you tend to complain about yourself. I'm getting an image. You took us up in the Hudson Yards, the one of the buildings that you've helped create in.
That you are an architect and helped in the design of this amazing building in Lower Manhattan that's probably 110 stories high.
And when we went, it's under construction. We all wore hard hats. And if we were miners, our hard hats would have
a light on it,
so we could see what's in front of us. But if that light were to fall down and head into our eyes, we wouldn't see anything. We'd be blinded. That's what happens when you put your attention on how you're doing.
you can put your attention out there and see what's needed and wanted by your world right in front of you, or you can bring your attention back to yourself and how you're doing, and you'll be truly lost.
Right. Yes. So that is why it was cool to notice that I could get into what I was doing, and see that, you know, I had already that my passion had already led me to some of those things.
Hey.
And our passion is now taking us
to a break.
Can you come back with us after the break?
Sure.
We'll be back shortly, everyone.
So come on back.
And don't miss being
here.
Feeling inspired, entertained, enlightened? Would you like more? Ariel and Shia invite you to participate in their fun and lively transformational seminars that have allowed people across the globe to have highly satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Join the Canes and their amazing community live and in person in New York, Germany, England, or even Costa Rica. Ready to deepen your experience of instantaneous transformation in your career, family, and relationships? Then take the leap. Register today at transformationmadeeasy.com.
Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Canes online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on being here, write comments on the Transformational Moments blog, and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at transformationmadeeasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. Transformationmadeeasy.com, the Excellence Club. This moment is precious, and being here for it is an idea worth sharing. So after you're done listening to the show, you can forward it to your friends and join the conversation on Ariel and Shia's Facebook or Twitter page, Transformation Made Easy. You can also connect with like-minded people by visiting a Say Yes to Your Life meetup group near you. Transformation is a communicable ease. The more you share it, the richer it becomes. Find out more at transformationmadeeasy.com.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back to Being Here. We want to thank you for listening to our show. It's something we love doing. We've been doing it for more than 11 years now. And we have listeners all over the world that we never expected to have. And so we're going to shout out to people in different places and thank them for listening.
So we're starting with all those of you who listen in Falcon Heights, Texas.
In Hicksville, New York.
Decatur, Illinois.
Miami, Florida.
Is it Decatur?
Decatur.
Is it Decatur? Sorry, Decatur people. Miami, Florida.
So, but then Miami gets three shout-outs then, you see.
That way, good. Dublin, Ireland.
Malaga, Spain.
Otterndorf in Germany.
And Radcliffe, England.
Wherever you're tuning in from, thanks for being a listener. All right, we are speaking with Ephraim. You still with us, Ephraim?
Yep, hi.
Excellent. So, you talking about where your passions lead you? I don't know.
You know, what's interesting, if you look to see where your passions lead you, it's where you are.
So you're,
Your passions have led you to this moment of your life.
Wherever that may be.
And if you're not passionate about it, that's up to you. But you could get passionate about this moment as though this moment was all there is. It happens to be the truth, at least my truth, but it's the truth. anyway, that this is your moment.
So you probably heard it in Sandy, particularly once we pointed it out. He has a passion for standing out. He could faithfully recreate a lot of the animals he saw that touched him in his front yard. He could have passion about where he works and what he does. And I could almost see the building he was in, the one side and the other. Not so much about driving to work. There's a possibility, Ephraim, you can be passionate wherever you are.
Awesome.
It is awesome.
It definitely is awesome.
And
so are you.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you know, I feel good about saying I know someone who designed is responsible for one of the largest buildings in New York City.
And he's passionate about sustainability, too.
That's right.
An awesome balance. Hey, thanks for calling in today. So sweet to speak with you.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah.
Excellent. How about we take our friend Harold, who we haven't spoken with for a long, long time. Hi, Harold.
Hi. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm coming along, getting stronger, feeling good, making progress, and being in the moment. Yeah.
Well, that's great. Yes.
So people who don't know you may be a little confused when you say you're coming along, making progress. You've had
getting
some
stronger.
Physical challenges. You're walking these days? You're walking with a cane, without a cane? How you doing?
Well, I'm currently walking with a cane.
Right.
I'm still having some pain in my neck area when I sit, but everything's improving. So my ability to walk, my ability to use my arm, I'm actually exercising at the gym, just to let some of you know, I was a personal trainer, so now I'm working out, exercising at the gym 6 days a week. I work out, without assistance, and I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling stronger, than what happened to me earlier on, but it's been progress. No setbacks. I did have a little injury maybe about a month or so ago where I think I got just overconfident, and I was working out in the gym, and during the time I was doing it, when I got home, it's like, oh boy, I'm paying for it now because I couldn't work out for like 2 weeks. I'm currently seeing a therapist for the injury. It's a strain, but nothing severe. So
yeah, you learn from that, don't you?
Yes,
sometimes
we get
that too, and we didn't have any apparent disabilities, but you can really go, oh wow, this is great, and then it's like, oh, I overdid.
Yes. Well, just in case you hear any background noises, right now I live in New York City. I'm in Harlem in New York City. And my nature for me is to come out near a park and sit on a bench. So with some of the wilds of New York City, you may hear some things that, may be peculiar, but I am in my form of communing with nature.
That's great.
So we may hear
Well, if you may hear in the background thunder because
where
it's
we are right
thundering
now.
Right now. The rain hasn't come, but the thunder has.
I have such
okay.
a I love thunder, I have to say. I really do.
Wow. Oh, man.
We are fortunate. So, live on an iron deposit, so it tends to pull
electricity. So we get a lot of lightning strikes near us.
It's from
okay.
House shakes.
Wow. Oh, man. Yeah.
So, Harold, what can we do for you, sir?
Well, with the theme of nature, like I said, I live in New York City, with a lot of concrete and buildings around me. But I've found that going to this park area, which is about a block away from where I live, and just to sit and be among the trees, you know, and not be involved with my phone. I mean, I do listen from time to time. I'll sit and listen to music, but just to listen, you know, to what goes on passing by me, the people, you know, in the community. And I've found that when I do just sit and be, you know, with the trees or wherever the things that are in the park, when I get back home, I feel good. And I can remember when, before I had this disability, I would go to work, you know, and spend a day. For me to come to this park, it was like, for what? You know, I'm working. If I want to go somewhere and appreciate nature, you know, I felt like there's other places that I could go and I can really, you know, find community connection. But I've learned to appreciate what is in front of me. And right now, because of my disability, I'm not able to get around and do the things that I would have done in the past. But what I have around me and what's offered, and like I said, when I do spend time, you know, in the park, and I could sit there for an hour or so, and it really is refreshing, you know, to go back home and to get on with the rest of my day. And I really appreciate that.
Well, you know, Harold, trees aren't trying to get somewhere that they think is better than the park.
Right.
You know?
Right.
The oak tree is not looking at the maple tree and saying, oh, God, I wish I had maple leaves.
Right. But us human beings, we have this forward-thinking idea that something in the future is going to be better than where we are right now. So I wouldn't wish your disability on you or anybody else. However, if you look, you've found a contentment in being you regardless of the circumstance. And that's amazing, man. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, Shai, I will say, I will say that I do attribute the tools that I've gotten from the transformative community, from you and Ariel, that it's helped me to deal with my disability and my situation. But, you know, I'm not going to tell you, there aren't moments where it's like, wow, man, wow, you know, how did I get here? Why my arms aren't moving, you know, the way other people are always moving. I can't run. I can't do the things, you know, that I want to do. I do, but I will say that I do believe transformation has helped me to be present and be with the way I am and not be consumed about being in a better place, you know, and being able to do the things that I can't currently do. Yes.
You know, when you say this, I remember when I first met you several years ago.
Many
years ago. And your complaint was that you couldn't sleep.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Now
yes.
That is so far out of the range of complaint.
Yes.
You know, yes. Now you see the insignificance of whether or not you slept well the night before.
Mm-hmm. You're talking today, Harold, is such a gift for everyone. We all have a different kind of disability, each of us, and most of us are consumed with getting somewhere, and that you've discovered how to access contentment and still find, oh, I hear the kids in the background. I love it.
Right.
Access contentment and still have that drive to bring your body
back into well-being.
Right.
But you're not assuming well-being will happen once your arms move differently. Well-being is right here, right now.
Exactly, with the circumstances you and each of us have right here and mm-hmm. right now. If you're mm-hmm. willing to be where you are, well-being mm-hmm. exists. If you're not, if you're saying, no, it should be different, well, then you'll make yourself mm-hmm. miserable.
By the way, mm-hmm. I can answer the question for you of how did I get here? You got here perfectly, moment by moment, by doing the very best you could in any given moment. Each of us have done our lives and are doing our lives
perfectly.
We can either go back and analyze
and
what
think,
we've
what I,
done.
What I shouldn't have done that, and then I wouldn't be the way it is. Well, you couldn't help but have done what you did. And those medications that you took many years ago that contributed to your disability, you couldn't have helped but take those things. They were what was offered by life, and you said yes.
You know, three principles, anything you resist, don't like, don't want, overanalyze, persists, grows stronger, dominates this moment. Your life is taking place in this moment.
Because this is the moment your life is taking place, not someday.
And then, of course, the second principle is in any given instant, you're perfect.
And you could only be doing exactly what you're doing in this moment. Like we have to be on this phone call together, Harold.
Right.
You know that.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Yes,
because
yes.
Because we are.
Because we are. So this is a perfect universe with us perfectly speaking to each other.
And then third principle is anything you see without judging
completes itself.
So, you know, we were speaking to Adam earlier, and if he can see that when he's looking at his phone from time to time, it's a defense strategy. If he sees it without judging it, he has options in an instant that are available. If you see that from time to time you fall into being a victim, well, join the human race. Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
It's not just because your body has challenges. Everybody I know from time to time thinks, how did I get here and what am I doing?
Yes, yes, yes.
It is really a pleasure to hear your voice.
Yeah, man, we've missed
Thank you.
Yes, we have definitely missed you.
You know, you're one of these people where you don't know you miss you until we hear your voice, and then we're like, oh, yeah, it's Harold. You are such a gift, man, well, such a gift.
Well, the feeling's mutual. The feeling is mutual, yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you,
awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in
yes,
today.
Yes, thank you, Harold.
I just... You know, we have about a minute left in the show, and I really want to, again, re-extend an invitation to everyone to join us in New Jersey for our Being in Nature course. I know it's going to be spectacular. Of course, being together with everybody is spectacular, but it's fun that we get the luxury of being all together someplace where we don't have all the outside concerns
distractions.
And distractions to navigate. By the way, next week's show is Experiencing Awe in Everyday Life. That should be fun.
Well, we were just talking about that with Harold.
Yes.
Thank you, Harold. Thank you so much for being on the show with us.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. My pleasure.
So we got to go now.
But we'll be back next week.
So come on back.
And don't
miss being here.
We hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another empowering episode of Being Here.